together to fight for what we love.
A significant amount of privilege and power over other groups.
You're listening to
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
A CITR podcast.
It's rare to hear anything louder than a flock of birds or a bicycle in Vancouver's Point Grey neighborhood. But this morning, a steady electronic beat could be heard coming from outside the home of entrepreneur Chip Wilson. The sound comes from a group of artists who've put together what they call a protest rave to act up against a wave of rent evictions.
So my name's Tasha Speck.
Tasha Speck was one of the organizers of the protest.
Okay, you're a co-organizer. What made you decide to put this together?
We were inspired by the Bassiani protest raves that happened in Georgia last year, the country Georgia. And I would love to see more protest raves. When we lost Index and Merge in June, that was a huge hit to the community, when already we have such a crisis of a lack of venues here in Vancouver and a lack of art spaces. And this was one of the last ones we had left, right? And once I realized that it was Chip Wilson and Low Tide Properties and that this was a pattern of, you know, systemic rent evictions and gentrification, there was no choice but to do something.
What's it like to see all these people here?
It's amazing. It's a really amazing turnout. I'm pretty surprised and really grateful for the turnout.
The protesters claim that Wilson and his development company, Low Tide Properties, have forced upwards of 18 organizations out of their spaces. Activist and co-organizer Jody Overland calls this predatory behavior.
People who are marginalized, who don't make a lot of money, he'll just come in, buy the property, and force them out. And like, these are people who also provide really desperately needed services to people in the downtown east side as well. It's not just musicians. Artists are being forced out of their spaces at alarming rates with no other alternative at this point. And it's mainly because Chip is on a quest to hoard as much property as he can.
Why does that harm artists?
Because we're not necessarily people with lots of money to begin with. So the problem is when we were paying our rent perfectly fine for all these years, we don't understand what the problem was when he came in and wanted to make more money. It's like, the point to us is not to make more money. The point for us is just to have a thriving community.
One person who knows this predatory behavior very well is Jim Carrico, one of the main organizers of Redgate Art Society. The Redgate was one of the first organizations that faced rent eviction at the hand of Wilson and Low Tide Properties.
Oh, I'm Jim from the Redgate, and yeah, we were we leased a building on East Hastings in 2013 that was later purchased by Low Tide Properties. And then when the lease got to the point of near the expiry and it was time to negotiate the renewal terms, they basically upped our rent by $10,000 from $7,500 to $17,500. Well, you know, so it was pretty obvious they didn't want us to be there. At the same time, we didn't really want to be there in the middle of that nonsense. But
well, I mean, I don't know. It's like the guy is a freaking billionaire. He's won the game, right? And yet he's still trying to triple the rent on the artists, right? Like, I don't understand. I think it's a pathological sort of condition, like, to just keep trying to climb the ladder when you're already at the top. Like, I think the guy should just needs to relax and get down with a few choice beats.
Before the music officially began, a territory acknowledgement and song was sung by Cece Weiss, who had her husky, Luna, in tow.
Cinque mentomiwit, hoichuch, hoichuch yolf, anhal squalowins, anhal squal, toits tana quiensna, toits tana quiensna. And I'd have to say most of this neighborhood is a big thorn in my people's side. Because I honestly have, I was just sharing that I've done archaeological digs in different sites around here and found pretty ancient artifacts that date way pre-contact back. So, you know, I'm happy that I get to learn where these village sites are and that I know their names and I know their histories, but I really wish I was in that village instead of the one we're in right now. But I definitely appreciate, as all of, I think all of indigenous people that are doing these land fights and everything, that we really appreciate the allyship. And I just really want to acknowledge that and say, you know, anybody that knew anything about the UTSAM witness program through the Roundhouse about a decade and a half back, almost 20 years back, would know that, because it literally took indigenous people, feminists, and environmental activists working together in a positive triangle to bring about the stop of the deforestation in the Ilaho Valley. And it now belongs to us again, and it's back in our hands. But it just means that more work is happening, right? So I like that story because it is about actually achieving the goal, you know? And sometimes we get pulled down because we think, are we doing this? Will it make a difference? And it does make a difference.
The protest featured music from a handful of local DJs and speeches from Councillor Jean Swanson and the Vancouver Tenants Union.
So it's really important to help artists continue their work, especially artists who are on the margin. Up at City Hall the other day, they told me that the average, or the median income for an artist in Vancouver is $22,000 a year, and for a musician is $18,000. So we're not dealing with people that have exactly the same amount of wealth as our friend here.
Where do we start? We're in front of the house of this Donald Trump wannabe. Do we need more Donald Trumps?
No.
Of course we not. Why they're interested in disappearing these musical venues, these art, these places where they exhibit art? Why? Because they want to suppress art, because art can change people's mind. Art can change and transform society, and this is why they want to disappear it. So, are you gonna do that, artists? Are you gonna let these Chick Wilson take your spaces?
No!
Art cannot be evicted. Art cannot be evicted. Art cannot be evicted. Art cannot be evicted.
Wilson himself came out at one point to address the crowd.
Well, you guys don't realize, I bet you, that we bought the amazing laughter statues, we bought the Trans Am statues.
Sweet.
That we're creative artists that make clothing, that, you know, creative people that are making clothing, some of them go bankrupt, some of them are no good, can't sell their stuff.
What was that like? It was kind of funny. Definitely Chip lives in another world than us and the normal person, the normal working class person.
That was kind of scary. He's an intimidating guy. I mean, he obviously really believes that he's like a really important person.
What you're hearing here is an exchange between Wilson and Nathan Driot, a co-organizer of the now defunct Index Gallery.
I didn't get here so without making a lot of mistakes and having failed many times, and many times I couldn't make rent because I didn't have a product that people actually wanted to buy.
So if you can't make a product, this is about community and art.
I had a product that was extremely popular that was packed every single weekend, and you still rent evicted me. So
Index was recently forced out of their lease on 1305 Powell Street. Once Low Tide Properties bought the building.
I wasn't having any problems.
You were still paying us rent every month.
But you're not making enough money, right? In order for the world doesn't want enough of your product for you to pay the rent.
So in other words, unless you're a millionaire,
billionaire,
your company didn't give me the option of paying the rent.
Driot was not happy with Wilson's response.
Well, I mean, he came out and basically, I think his opinion in a nutshell was essentially that if arts organizations were more successful, we would be able to pay our rent. And I kind of take a bit of offense to that, because we were highly successful. We had our art studio was full of artists who were using it constantly, and our events were well attended and very appreciated in the community. We had no problem paying our rent. In fact, we could have probably handled rent increases from him, from his company, but we weren't given that opportunity. We were just rent evicted. And so I think that, yeah, it was interesting to raise that to him, because I essentially said, you know, our product was successful. I don't particularly enjoy using that kind of terminology to talk about what we do, but if to use his terminology, our product was very successful. It wasn't an issue of success. And when I raised this to him, he just kind of got uncomfortable and then started walking down the street and then shouted something about how socialism will never win.
Anyway, you guys are great. Love you. Take care.
Great. Bye.
Bye. We'll be here when you need us. We leave for a little while at least. Thanks, Chip.
Yeah, that's it. Socialism will always fail.
Wilson has argued in the past that he does give back to Vancouver's arts community. Low Tide Properties is a known donor to community events like the Vancouver Mural Festival. But Jody Overland says that's a way to cover up the rent evictions.
He was saying, like, what he says basically is like, I've put public art in places. And what he's saying is like, I can get away with what I want to because I've put up a couple things that I think are art. You know, it's like he's using this as an excuse to like keep doing what he's doing.
So you're saying that like putting up a few art pieces is not helpful to the arts community at large?
No, because the art pieces he puts up are curated by him. And then on top of that, they're just raising his property value.
So it sounds like he gets to decide what art is in the city if this like kind of keeps going.
Yeah, it's basically like he gets to dictate what the city is. You know, it's like the amount of wealth and property you have, you get to start to decide what's going on. And it's like, we exist here too.
The rave wrapped up 4 hours after it started, as police came to shut it down. Now the organizers are resting after their well-attended event and hoping that this sparks more protests, more raves, and more action against rent evictions.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. A dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street because nobody anywhere seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel built-in radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
Rave Against Rent Evictions was produced and mixed by me, Max Collins. The outro music is Mad by Dennis Cruz. Special thank you to Dania Shamsi for the recommendation. This piece was produced for Consider the Alternative, a podcast by CITR 101.9 FM.